Galatians chapter number 6, chapter number 5, sorry, but if you get to 6, you're close. Galatians chapter number 5, I'm going to read verse number 16, Galatians chapter number 5, verse number 16. The Bible says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." I'll read again. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Let's pray. Daddy, we come to you, first off, to just thank you. Thank you that you thought of us. Thank you that you send a helper. And today, Abba Father, even as we come to you, we ask that your Holy Spirit will continue ministering to us and through us. We need you. We need you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The Bible says, "Walk in the Spirit and do not therefore... so you may not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit, that you may not fulfill the lusts of the flesh." Now, just to catch us up from where the kids left off, Jesus Christ, when he is still walking the earth, he says, "I must go that this Holy Spirit will come. I must go." And this is the time when the disciples were telling him, "You can't go. You cannot die. Because if you die, we are left here. We will be on our own." But he tells them, "Listen, it is necessary for me to go. It is necessary." The Bible says in those words, "It is important that I go so that the Holy Spirit will come." Now, I want to just come back to that, so to underline that for you and in your spirit, that there is an importance, there is a vital importance that necessitates Jesus to leave when his ministry is done. When his ministry is accomplished, he has to go. Because, you know, we've talked about this before, that the Father, God the Father, founded the earth. He created it with his hands. And then he does his part. He ministers to people. He uses angels. And then that particular season goes. And then God the Son comes in. He does his part. They have to work, the three of them together, to accomplish work. Jesus comes and does his ministry for 3 years. He works and accomplishes what he came to do. Then he has to go because his season, you see, has come to an end. So, which means that If God were to say to Jesus, when the season for Jesus showing up had come, "Don't go," that is where we are. When the disciples are telling Jesus, "Don't go," if God would have said to Jesus, "Don't go," this is going to sound confusing. If God would have told Jesus, "Don't go, I just want to continue doing the work," there has to be a necessity, a place where God was. The Bible says that it was silent in heaven. And there was this question, "Whom shall I send?" And then Jesus says, "It is my time now." Because you see, God is a man of war. His relationship with man was this long distance relationship, where he would come in, zoom in, do a work, and then go back, retreat. Come in, do what he has to do, and then retreat. But then Jesus Christ says, "Send me that I may dwell among them." And he came, so Jesus is here, and we call him Emmanuel, God with us. He comes and then he hangs out with us. He fellowships with us, teaches us in the way we should go, ministers. He does his part of the ministry. Now, God has done his part. The first part has been accomplished by the work of God. Then Jesus Christ comes in. He says, "Send me. This is my season." Jesus Christ does his part. But when, just before he leaves, he says, "I must go so that the third person can come." Which means, as important as the ministry of God the Father was, creating the universe, you know, giving us his Son Jesus, as important as it was, As important as the ministry of Jesus Christ was, when he came on earth, walked the earth, lived, died on the cross to save us, it is with the same importance that the Holy Spirit of God comes.
Uh-oh.
He says, I have to go. He says, don't delay me. It is necessary for me to go that the third person can come because he has got a ministry to do. He says, I will send you a helper. A helper that will be able to help you through every circumstance. He will teach you in all things. And then Jesus Christ departs. And as the kids have nicely and beautifully told us, that there comes a day that is called the day of Pentecost. The day when normally this was a Jewish celebration. But then on this particular day, as these disciples are waiting in the upper room, the Holy Spirit of God comes down. He comes, and he comes because it is necessary that he comes. If you forget everything today, I would like you to remember that it's necessary that the coming of the Holy Spirit, that the ministry of the Holy Spirit is necessary. If you forget everything else, remember that. It is important that you recognize the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, you will struggle. Otherwise, you will get lost. Otherwise, you will stumble and fall over your head over and over and over again. That is why Paul writes to the Galatians and he says, walk ye in the Spirit that you may not fulfill the lusts of your flesh. Walk you in the Spirit that you will not be hanging on, falling over yourselves. Because you see, it is very important. It is necessary that the Spirit of God came. It's necessary that the power of God through His Spirit has come to help us. You, like me, like everybody else that is seated around you, we have got our daily struggles. It doesn't matter how wonderful people are. It doesn't matter how holy we are. We have got things, we have got stuff. And the Bible says that I will send you a helper. Jesus says, I will send you a comforter. Because you see, we are in this world, but not of this world. That is why it is always painful when people are shot dead at their workplace of work. That is why it's always painful when things are happening around us that shouldn't be happening. When people have got, when there's ailments that we cannot understand, it is not okay. Yet he says, I must go, that somebody else will come and help you. He will come and comfort you because you are in a world that you do not belong. We live in a broken system. Like I said, we live in an upside down system. It is only by the Holy Spirit of God that we can be set right side up. It is only by the Holy Spirit of God that we can be able to live our lives in honor and live and walk according to what God has allowed us to walk according to. In your bulletin, I gave an example about the GPS in the car. And mine, it's annoying. It's actually a dude voice. Have you guys ever heard that? You know, like all the others are normally nice and they're like ladies. Well, I'm just saying on my part. I prefer ladies telling me what to do. But this mine is like a dude. And he has this weird voice and I do not like it. So many times I just turn it off. But you see, every time when this is turned off, I get lost. Every time, because the kind of work that I do, I work with families and I have to visit their homes. And so I need that address. I need that thing to tell me where I'm supposed to be going so that I get there on time. We need the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus Christ has sent down a helper that will help us, that will give us directions, that will allow us to know where we ought to be, what we ought to be doing, and when we ought to be where we ought to be. He says, I am the Holy Spirit of God. I have come and I will teach you in all things, the Bible says. He will teach us in all things. Remember, it is necessary that he comes. It is necessary that he comes. Unfortunately, most of us have chosen, like me with my GPS, to turn him off and only sometimes turn him on when we feel like we are getting lost. We use him as an insurance policy where we are just going to grab him when we are, you know, when the house is burning up, is when we are like, yeah, we need to get this. Paul tells us that we have to walk in the Spirit so we do not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. Why would Paul tell us this? And is there any reason why? Is there any evidence that he himself did? Can we go to the next slide? In the book of Acts. Oh, I guess we did not go to Acts first. Let's go to Acts. Paul goes and gets his disciple. His disciple is, at this particular time, he picks up this man called Timothy. And they start their ministry. He's moving. He's building the churches, and that's where we are. He's just picked up Timothy and circumcised him because they were moving to a place where there was Greeks. And so chapter number four, so it's him and Timothy. As they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep and were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily. Why were the churches increasing daily? Why was their growth? Verse number six, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia, whatever that word is, yeah, we need the Holy Spirit so we can speak in tongues and read words like this. In the region of Galatia, they were forbidden by the Holy Ghost to preach the word of God in Asia. After they were come to Mysia, again another word, they assayed or they sailed to go into Bithynia, another word, but the Spirit suffered them not. The Spirit told him, you can't go. And they passed by that Mysia place and came down to a place called Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over to Macedonia and help us. So these apostles, they are moving. They are moving from city to city, spreading the gospel of Jesus. But there is one thing about them that I want you to note this morning, that they did not turn off their GPS signals. Praise God. That they were connected at all times, that they were listening to what the Holy Spirit of God was saying. You can easily go wrong if you're not listening to what the Holy Spirit of God is saying. And when the Bible says you not fall into the lust of the world, it does not necessarily mean all the bad stuff. Even good stuff like preaching the word of God in Bithynia. It is a good thing. They would be going to do something good to spread the gospel. But then the Holy Spirit of God says, no, you cannot go there. Because there is something of God that he wants to speak to us continuously. He wants to speak to us consistently. In fact, Isaiah, the verse that we just moved from up there, let us go back there so that we can move together. And though verse number 30, Isaiah chapter number 30, verse number 20 to 23. Isaiah chapter number 30, if you get there, you say amen. If you don't, you just read mine here. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity, and though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner anymore. But your eyes shall see your teachers, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left. The Bible says that a time will come when we will live in a broken world like we are in living in today. It says, even though the Lord supplies you with a bread of adversity, even though the system is falling down, even though we are living in a broken, upside down world, like the Bible would say, a bread of adversity. He says, yet you will not miss on your teachers. Yet will you not miss. He says, Jesus says, it is necessary that I go so that my comforter can come, so that your helper may come, so that your teacher may come. For the Holy Spirit is referred to in those three ways. He's a teacher, he's a helper, and he's a comforter. He says, you will hear your teacher. You will not miss. You will hear the voice behind you say, here is the way, walk ye in it. In 2 miles, turn right. In 2 miles, turn right. He says, you will hear a voice saying, turn, go to the left, go to the right. Paul was listening. He knew that the time that the prophet is speaking about has come when we will continuously and consistently hear our teacher, where he will be there with us. That even though the times are as times of adversity, like the times that we are living in, even though times are as broken as the season that we are living in as a nation, and he says the times like this, his light will come forth and be even brighter. We will hear the teacher even more louder. That's the part you say amen. Times like this, the Holy Spirit, his voice has got clarity, and he says, this is which way you should go. And Paul would listen to this voice and he would say, no, the Spirit says we shouldn't go there. The Spirit says, no, we shouldn't go there. He says we should. And then the Bible says that in the middle of the night, when they were in Troas, he had this vision. And there was this man in Macedonia that was calling. And to continue that story, they go all the way to Macedonia. They obey the Holy Spirit of God. They perceive that this man, the dream, the vision was about the man of Macedonia. So they go to Macedonia. Do you know who the man was? It was the jailer. The man that was beating up on them. The man that was arresting. You see, they go to Macedonia and they get there. There's this lady that does all these wonderful things. But then they, as they minister, they cast that demon out of this familiar spirit, out of this lady, and they get arrested. And as they get arrested, they are put in prison. In prison, there is a jailer. Back then, they would tie you together with your prisoner, with the guards that was in there. And so this guard wakes up. There was an earthquake and the prisoners are gone. He takes his sword and he's about to kill himself. And then Paul says to him, no, don't kill yourself. We are still here. We did not leave. And the Bible says that that soldier, that man of Macedonia, gives his life to Christ, and not only him, but his entire family. What? Why? Why would this man's entire family give their lives to Christ? It's because somebody listened to the Holy Spirit of God. Because Paul was sensitive enough to say, I want to hear what he has to say for my tomorrow. Listen to me, children of God. Jesus says it's necessary that the helper comes. We can choose to recognize, you know, we are very, very comfortable with allowing God to do his part. We are comfortable with allowing Jesus to do his part. We have got a problem with allowing the Holy Spirit to do his part today. We live in a culture where I got it. I got this is the way of life. Where we think that we can handle it. Where we think that we've got the power. Where we think that I need the control. But yet there is a helper. And every time we walk without his help, we fall down. Every time we walk without his help, we stumble. Every time we walk without his help, we miss direction. He is available to minister to us today. Listen to me, child of God. It is time for you to recognize the Holy Spirit. That child said something in that video. He said, everybody that believes in Jesus has the Holy Spirit. Which means there are cars that come without a GPS. That's true, right? There are other cars that come with a GPS system. If you are a believer, you came with a GPS system. You need to just turn it on. If we forget everything else, we need to say, I want him. Jesus says this in regards, he says, if you as evil as you are, give your kids good gifts. You don't give them snakes when they ask for fish. You don't give them rocks when they ask for bread. He says, how much more me, your father, when my children ask me for his spirit? So how do we get the Holy Spirit of God? We simply ask. We simply ask. I'm going to go to the last verse and then we go home. Amen. It's been a lengthy season. I want us to go to the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter number 4. Zechariah chapter number 4. This is the vision that Zechariah had. I'll read from verse number 3. The Bible says, and two olive trees by it, one upon the right side of the bow and the other upon the left side thereof. So I answered and spoke to the angel that talked with me, saying, what are these, my Lord? Then the angel that talked with me answered and said unto me, knowest thou not what these be? And I said, no, my Lord. Then he answered and spoke unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain, before Zerubbabel? Thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof with shoutings, crying grace unto it. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, the hands of Zerubbabel have laid the foundation of this house. His hands shall also finish it. And you shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. For who has despised the days of small things? For they shall rejoice and shall see the plummet in the land of Zerubbabel with those seven. They are the eyes of the Lord which run to and fro throughout the whole earth. Now, the prophet Zechariah sees this vision and the Lord is showing him various things. And he shows him a candlestick and Zechariah asks the angel of the Lord, what are these? And the angel says, this is what, you don't know what these are? And he explains to him, he says, it's not by might, it is not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord. Now one thing I want to say is, it does not matter what you're going through in life, that the mountains that you perceive to be mountains, he says, these mountains that are before Zerubbabel, these challenges, this situation in your life that you may look at and think this is impossible, these things that appear seemingly bigger than you, these things that appear seemingly scarier, living a day-to-day life in this country is scary. But when you look at it, I want you to remember that the Bible says that it is not by might, it is not by power that we overcome things. It is not by our wisdom, it is not by our scholarly knowledge or our understanding that we overcome the mountains. He says, it is not by might, it is not by power, but by the Spirit of God, these mountains will be removed. in the mighty name of Jesus. That if we can allow the Holy Spirit of God to do the work, that if we can allow to say, Father, lead me. Father, give me guidance. Hold my hands. If we can cooperate by the Spirit of God, with the Spirit of God, then we, every mountain in our life shall be leveled. Then every situation that we look at, that we think, you know what, might, every situation, it shall be leveled because of the Spirit of God. Listen, when the GPS is giving me direction, it's hard for me to get lost. If I can only cooperate, that is the key word. Now, the Holy Spirit of God will continue with His promptings. He will continue with His promptings. He will continue speaking to our lives. He will continue telling us, I don't think this is okay, what you're doing. He says, son, don't go there. Now, we can choose to just go. Like, I ignore my GPS. We had this, I had this old phone that had a GPS on it, and the GPS had emotions. I'm not joking. Yeah, every time I would pass a turn that it said turn left, every time now I just move my car like I'm going to pass it, it just starts going, take a left now, take a left now, take a left now. You know, it got angry. However, the Spirit of God, we might grieve Him, but He might not show emotions like my GPS. Because if you force, He's a spirit of gentleness. So when He tells you, Dan, don't go there, and you just keep going, He'll say again, Dan, don't go there. It will hurt you. Dan, don't go there. It will hurt you. Because we have the free will. We have been created in His image. We get to choose. We get to choose. My question to you today is, when the GPS goes, when the GPS starts speaking, do we obey? Do we cooperate with the Holy Spirit of God? Or are we adamant and just keep going the direction where He's saying you shouldn't go? Listen, child of God, every time I have zoomed through when the Holy Spirit is saying something on my heart, I've found myself delaying the blessings of God. I found myself struggling harder than I would necessarily struggle. You see, the Holy Spirit of God, as He comes and anoints us. Do you know what anointing oil is? Do you know what oil does to a vehicle, to a wheelbarrow? We've talked about this before. When you continue using your wheelbarrow and you never put oil in that thing where the wheel goes round, over time it's going to start squeaking. It makes this annoying noise as you go along until you put some oil in the hub. Then it continues running smoothly. What the Holy Spirit does in our lives, guys, is He anoints us. He puts that oil in us so that as we go through life, that even though there is going to be the friction of life, even though the Lord says, even though I supply the bread of adversity, even though times come when you won't like, as He oils us, we go through those hard times, but you will never hear us squeaking. When you start feeling the squeaking in your life, you have to stop and say, Lord, am I going the direction I'm supposed to be going? Am I obeying the Holy Spirit of God? Because you see, as long as we are not anointed, as long as the Holy Spirit is not at work in us, we struggle through life. When the Holy Spirit is actively at work in us, we may go through the valley of the shadow of death, but we shall fear no evil, because even in the shadow, we know He is there. You see, the Bible says, even though you go through the valley of the shadow of death, I bless God because we go through. And do you know what the beauty is? The Lord does not tell you, I'll be on the other side waiting. He says, I am with you in the valley of the shadow of death. That is the Holy Spirit that is at work in us. So you might choose to say, I'm going to live post Jesus. I'm going to live my life and ignore the work of the Holy Spirit of God. Somebody has told me there is somebody out there that even teaches that his ministry was done. I do not believe that. I believe that he is here to help us through the challenges. As long as we are on this side of heaven, he wants to walk side by side with us. And help us accomplish every goal that is ahead. Help us, give us promptings, guidance, and direction. As a kid, I watched ants do their work, you know, like walking around, and they carry luggages. They carry weight. They carry leaves. They carry stuff for no reason. It's so funny. We did that when we went to the zoo. We went to this place and we just watched the ants. They had like a whole place, which is like a room full of ants. And they carried anything they found. Like they found, you're like, why are you carrying that? You know? Imagine if I told the ants, I want to help you carry what you're carrying. And the ant gave me, do you know how big that thing would be on my hand? Maybe on my finger. Jesus said, I want you to have my help through the Holy Spirit. And like ants, it is in the nature of man to carry baggage. Sometimes baggage we shouldn't even be carrying. And what the Holy Spirit of God says, he's here, he says to the ant, can I help you? If what we are carrying in our hearts today, in our bodies today, in our minds today, in our families today, in our marriages today, if only we could say, Lord, here. If only we could accept and receive the help that the Holy Spirit of God has come to offer. See, our walk with God becomes so smooth and easy if we cooperate with the Holy Spirit of God. If we tell him, help us. Jesus says, I will not leave you as orphans. I will leave you with somebody to help you. Why would we need help? When Jesus Christ, when the Bible says that God created man, right? And then the Bible says that he looked and he said, everything is good. And then he comes to man and says, oh, it's not good for this man to be alone. I'm going to make him a helper. I know I need help. As a man, and if you're a man in here, I know you need help. It's the same way when God says, when Jesus says, I must send you a helper. He looks at the church and he knows we need the help desperately. You need the Holy Spirit of God at work inside you. You need him. You might have been breezing through the cranking and the squeak. You know, you walk around and you're all quick, 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 quick. It is only the Holy Spirit of God that will smooth the ride for you. He might not take away all the things that buffet us. He might not take away everything that we have. But you know what? He will be in there with you. He will be walking right by your side with you through that thing. I want you to stand up today. How do we get the Holy Spirit? How do we get him to come with us? How do we get him so all the mountains, like in Zerubbabel's case, they will be leveled? We just do one thing. We ask. We ask him. We say, Lord, I want the Holy Spirit of God in my life. And that's what we all of us are going to do this afternoon. Even as I pray, you will be praying for yourself and saying, Lord, I want a fresh anointing. I want a fresh anointing. Because you see, there is a renewal of that anointing that keeps coming. A fresh flow as the Holy Spirit comes and zooms in into our lives. On the day of Pentecost, the Bible says that as they gathered together in the room, in one mind, that the Holy Spirit of God came down, came upon them. Today, if you've not been baptized by the Holy Spirit of God, evidenced by speaking in tongues, evidenced by miracles and moving of the Spirit, it is such a time where you can say, Lord, I want Him. I want Him manifesting in my life. Today, maybe you're going through a hardship in your life. Maybe a situation that is difficult for you, that is bigger than you. It is time to say, help. It is time to lift your hand and say, help. You see, if we don't utilize the Holy Spirit of God, it is as well as never having utilized Jesus and His ministry. It is as well as never having recognized the ministry of God. He is the same God. Jesus says, I'm not going to leave you. I'm going to leave you with a helper. The helper has to be equivalent, has to be able to give what Jesus gave. What did Jesus give His disciples? He gave them health. He gave them food. He gave them everything they ever needed. Fulfillment, joy. The Holy Spirit can do as much, because He's just the same one. Abba Father, we stand before You today to worship You. We worship You, Holy Spirit of God, for there is no greater power on earth, in heaven, under the earth, above the earth. There is no greater power than the power of Your Spirit. And so, Holy Spirit of God, even as we worship You this morning, we pray and ask, come. Come help us. Come fill us again. Fill us again. Fill us again. Somebody just tell Him, fill me. Fill us again, Holy Spirit of God. Fill us again, Holy Spirit of God. Today, Lord, just release Your fresh anointing. Release Your fresh anointing over this church. Father, this morning, this afternoon, we choose to activate the Spirit of God and His work in our lives, His ministry. We choose to be intentional about studying about the Holy Spirit of God. What we've ate today is a snack. We choose to go deeper into the study that we may be servants that do not need to be ashamed. Fill us again, Holy Spirit. I pray now, Father, that there will be manifestation of the work of Your Spirit. Where there is fear and timidity, there will come forth boldness, authority. Where there is disease, there shall come forth healing. Where there is depravity, that there will be fulfillment in the name of Jesus. I praise You today, Father, because You are able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we may ever ask, think, or even imagine. That through Your Holy Spirit, my Father God, You're turning the trajectory of our lives around in the name of Jesus. Those of us that have felt defeated, Lord, you're bringing forth victory in our lives. Even as you anoint our squeaky wheels, Father, we totally submit and humble at your feet. Help us, my Father. Help us. We need the help. I need the help. I pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit of God.